Now, as I mentioned earlier today, this is the 100th anniversary of Woodrow Wilson's 1914 proclamation that the second Sunday of May would be Mother's Day in America. But the idea of Mother's Day goes back further than that. In 1868, a West Virginia native, Anna Jarvis, came up with the idea of Mother's Friendship Day. Her desire was to bring families back together after the grief and loss and the trauma on our country of the Civil War. And so many moms had lost children in the Civil War, and some of them had lost more than one child in the Civil War. So she wanted a day in which our nation would once again, and families would once again come together and remember the grief of moms and be friends with moms and support moms and pray for moms throughout our country. And she envisioned that day as being a unifying day for families, a healing day for families. Well, time went on, and Mother's Friendship Day turned into Mother's Day and turned into an official proclamation by President Woodrow Wilson for Mother's Day. And believe it or not, Anna Jarvis did not like that. She believed as Mother's Day became formalized, it became commercialized. She was incensed that children would buy greeting cards instead of writing their mother's handwritten letters. She was angry that people would go out and buy flowers and send them to their mother or take them to their mother instead of going to see their mother and spending the day with them. She was angry that the day had become, commercialized and now an industry in that it is. And what had had so much promise at the outset for her became painful for her as she watched Mother's Day become something she had not originally intended it to be, at least in her mind. All the way up to the day she died, just a few years before she passed away, she led a protest in New York City against Mother's Day. The woman who had conceived of Mother's Friendship Day protested against Mother's Day. The promise had become painful for her. So, is it a promise, a wonderful thing? Is Mother's Day a great opportunity to bless our moms, remember our moms? Or is Mother's Day commercialized and plastic and fabricated and takes away the intimacy of mom and child? Well, it's either or, neither nor, both and. It all goes together, doesn't it? The promise of it is still there. The wonder of it is still there. Our opportunity to bless and thank our moms and pray for our moms and bring families together, that's all still there. But on the other hand, it can be over-commercialized. And yeah, don't send your mom an email. Write her a letter. Send her a card. That's I did that, so that's good. That's all right. It's both and. It's promise and it's pain. It's bitter and it's sweet. Just like parenthood is. Parenthood is both promise and pain. It's both bitter and it's sweet. And as soon as that child emerges from the womb, at first all you see is the promise, right? Moms, all you see, you cuddle that baby and it's just all wonderful. It's going to be the best baby ever. The best child ever. It doesn't take long until you see this is a sinner. This child is wonderful, and this child is so weird. They do odd things. They tell lies. They hurt other children. They're biting. Your child. How many of you thought, my child will never bite? Next thing you know, they bit you. Motherhood is, parenthood is just full of promise. Every day, from the moment of conception, even when we conceive of conception, we're conceiving a promise that this is, there's all hope invested in this child, how wonderful they're going to be. And then along the way, they start growing up and they start making decisions of their own, making mistakes of their own, making you wonder if they are your own. Sometimes you wish. No, I'm kidding. Parenthood is full of both. It's both and pain and promise, isn't it? This morning we're going to go to a text in Scripture in which we see the world's two most famous parents, the world's most famous mother ever in all of history, with a newborn baby cuddled in her arms, and she is told straight up, this is both promise and pain. Get ready. Because that's what it means to be a parent. And the only way to survive parenthood is with trusting Almighty God with your children. You and I, we are not perfect parents, and we will never be, but we serve a perfect Heavenly Father. And every single day is filled with promise and with pain, but God is always constant and loving and knows our children, and we must entrust our children to Him. So we go back to Mary and Joseph, especially Mary, as she's reminded, and the Scripture will read, that parenthood is both promise and pain. And what the one thing that we can do is to trust God with our children. Luke chapter 2 and verse 25, if you have your Bible, look there with me. Luke records the event as Mary told it to him. And we learn this from the opening chapter of the Gospel of Luke, that the first two chapters, the information that's so personal and intimate there, he received later from Mary herself. And this is what he writes. He says, "There was a man in Jerusalem whose name was Simeon. This man was righteous and devout, looking forward to Israel's consolation, and the Holy Spirit was on him. It had been revealed to him by the Holy Spirit that he would not see death before he saw the Lord's Messiah. Guided by the Spirit, he entered the temple complex, and when the parents brought in the child Jesus to perform for him what was customary under the law, Simeon took him up in his arms, praised God, and said, 'Now, Master, you can dismiss your slave in peace. You, as you promised, for my eyes have seen your salvation. You have prepared it in the presence of all peoples, and light, a light for revelation to the Gentiles and glory to your people Israel.' His father and mother were amazed at what was being said about him. Then Simeon blessed them and told his mother Mary, 'Indeed, this child is destined to cause the fall and rise of many in Israel, and to be a sign that will be opposed, and a sword will pierce your own soul, that the thoughts of many hearts may be revealed.'" Imagine Mary and Joseph, two young parents, reeling from the events of the birth of Jesus Christ. The Magi arrived and brought them gifts. The shepherds arrived and praised God for their son. The angels were singing out in glory. They are mystified, astonished, and so overwhelmed and excited by these events in these past few days. If Mary and Joseph had lived today, their son had been born under those circumstances, within 8 days they would have the infant Jesus on the talk show circuit. They'd be on Jimmy Fallon. They would be famous. They'd be getting their memoirs ready. There'd be, unfortunately, probably a vampire movie about them, but I don't know if that's true or not. But if it were today, it would be commercialized and overwhelmed, and they would be celebrities. That would be sad. Mary and Joseph are just two young parents that God has blessed in an extraordinary way, and in a way that must have overwhelmed them every time they thought about it. But nevertheless, they are faithful to their God, and they do exactly, as Luke says, what is customary according to the law. What that means is, on the 8th day after Jesus' birth, they brought a sacrifice with them, and they went up to the temple to dedicate their child to God. Now wait a minute. This is the Son of God, conceived in Mary while she was a virgin. Would it not follow that he was already pretty well dedicated to God? But they know they have a responsibility, an obligation, a stewardship as parents, a trust from God. They know that while they may not understand everything circulating around these events, they know this: they need to be faithful to God. Just that's it. They need to be faithful to God. No matter how special this child may be, and certainly will be, they want to be good parents. And as being good parents, they have one obligation 8 days later, and that's to be faithful to God, to entrust their child to God, to dedicate him to God. Parents, you get anything out of that? That your walk with Jesus, your walk with Christ, your dedication to Him is the benchmark for every step of your life. Be consistent in your own faith, and it begins with dedicating that child to God. Entrust your child to God. Say to God, I don't understand it all, I don't know it all, but God, I'm going to be faithful to you in my life and be faithful to what you want me to do in this child's life. That's where it begins. And it's in that moment, even as they are dedicating their child to God, this man Simeon, this prophet, this anointed individual of Israel who has been waiting outside the temple for what he calls the consolation of Israel, that's a good Jewish speak for the Messiah, the Christ, the one who would come in the name of God, the anointed one. He's been waiting his whole life. And suddenly a young couple shows up with a little baby to dedicate him in the temple. And this man steps forward and he raises this child up and he praises God because he has seen with his own eyes the Messiah. Wow. And the speech he gives to Mary and to Joseph reflects the pain and the promise of every parent. Every parent. It happens at the moment they come to dedicate that child to God. But parents, entrusting your child to God doesn't mean you can decide the course of their life. It doesn't mean you can make every decision for them. What it does mean is every single day you remind yourself that you trust God with that child. God knows what you do not know that the future will hold for your child. There's both pain and there's promise in parenthood. Let's look at this together. A parenthood, first of all, is filled with promise. It's filled with promise. It's full of promise. The moment we think of those children, we anticipate who they will be, who they will become. It's just a life of promise. Nothing's going to go wrong. Simeon blesses their child. He praises God for the consolation of Israel. And all they can do is be amazed. And the Greek word translated amazed, you know what it means? Amazed. That's it. It means they are astonished, amazed. They're just overwhelmed by the events of the last 2 weeks, and here it's happening again. And in his speech to them and his praise to God, he opens up for us two areas of promise that we see in every child. And we hope for every child. There's the promise of affirmation. There's the promise of affirmation. You know what that is? That's when other people see in the moment how great your child is. That's when other people applaud your child. See, it's one thing for you to applaud your child. It's something else when other people do it, isn't it? Yeah. It's something else when you're at the ball game and your kid hits a home run, and just as you're about to clap, the guy down the bench there stands up and yells and applauds for your kid. Ah, what affirmation. I mean, you know your kid's great, but it just means that much more when the rest of the world sees it, right? When your child sings the solo and everybody applauds, ah, you know your kid's great, but it just means that so much more when the rest of the world sees that affirmation. Imagine how Mary felt when Simeon held up her baby and proclaimed, "This is the one the world has waited on." That's one thing for Mary to know that. It's a whole other thing for this stranger at the temple to hold up her child and affirm the hand of God is on her child. He's special. He's special. Ah, the world is full of promise. The world is full of promise. And then there's affirmation, a promise of destiny. Along with affirmation, there's a promise of destiny. Simeon says that he has been set apart, or literally anointed for a purpose, appointed to a purpose. He says, your child is destined, appointed for a purpose. You know, the Bible teaches parents that every child comes into the world, God has a purpose and a plan for our children. And we can't dictate what that is. We can only trust God with our child and pray with our child and for our child and encourage them to trust God as well, to follow their purpose for that child. They are appointed for a purpose. And that the promise lies before them of destiny. Who will they be? Who will they become? When you hold that little child in your hands, you have to wonder, who are they going to be? Will they reach the levels of greatness you know that they can reach? Will they be the person that you know they can be? All you can do is pray for them, teach them, instruct them, guide them, and trust God. Parenthood is full of that promise. We experience it every day, all the time. But the other side is that parenthood is full of pain. Parenthood is full of pain. Even as Simeon brings Mary into the promise, Mary and Joseph are amazed, astonished by the affirmation of who Jesus was being. In the very next sentences, he instructs them on the pain that they will experience and that Jesus will experience. There is the pain of uncertainty. The pain of uncertainty. Right before our eyes, notice, he begins to talk to Mary. Now, Joseph is standing there, but he's talking to Mary, to Joseph's mother. Well, remember, he is a prophet. Now, he's a man of God, anointed of God. He is a prophet. He knows and sees in this moment what Mary and Joseph are unaware of, uncertain of. And he knows and sees in this moment that Joseph won't be there for the whole life of Jesus. In fact, in Scripture, Joseph is never mentioned after Jesus' 12th year. He's not present. He must have passed away early on in Jesus' life. The uncertainty Mary would have never thought of. Would she ever even imagined on Jesus' 8th day that by the time Jesus was 13 and all the other children that had come along, she would be parenting them alone? She just can't know that. You and I can't know what lies out there. The world is full of uncertainty. You know, the only certain thing, moms, the only certain thing is that you can trust God. And you can trust God no matter what. Because He never changes. The world is full of that uncertainty. He says to Mary, your son has a destiny. He is appointed for a purpose. And the end result of that destiny, Mary, is your own soul will be pierced with a sword. Just as I have heralded the promise of your son, I'm letting you know that you, his mother, will suffer because of his destiny. She could not have known at that moment with that little baby. She could not have possibly known that she would be standing there in 33 years while he was crucified for the sins of the world. She could not have known how he would be mocked, how he would be ridiculed. She could not have possibly known the uncertainty that would enter into her own mind the day that she would gather up all her other children and put them in the minivan and go across town and find him and say, you're crazy, we're afraid you're losing your mind. She could not have imagined that. And you can't imagine that they had a minivan, right? All the uncertainty that lies out there for your children. What should your response be? Be a godly mom, dedicated to the Lord Jesus yourself. Instruct, guide in the things of God, and trust God with your children. Trust God with your children. And there's also the pain of destiny. Just as there's a promise of destiny, there's a pain of destiny in that you really don't know where that child is headed. The uncertainty leads to the question of who will they become? What choices will they make? Now, Mary and Joseph's side, they didn't have to worry about Jesus being a sinner because he lived a sinless life. You and I, we make mistakes. We sin against God. Our children are capable of making decisions that will divert their relationship with God and with you. How do you respond to that? What should you do? Be a godly mom, faithful to Jesus Christ, instruct and guide your children in the things of God, and trust your child to God. Pray for your child every day. and believe that God knows what you don't, God sees what you don't see, and God will take care of your child no matter what. Do you believe that, moms? Because God will take care of your child no matter what. In 2010, two Australian parents, Kate and David Ogg, were all excited about the birth of their twins. But the twins came prematurely, a boy and a girl. The boy's name was Jamie. The little girl, the little twin girl, was born healthy. They were excited. Then along came the little boy, Jamie, and he was not breathing. So doctors rushed in, and they took care of Jamie while his mom, Kate, and while David waited in the hospital bed, in the hospital room. They waited for news, and the doctors came back with sad faces, and they said, "Kate, we are sorry to tell you your son has died. He just is not going to make it. Nothing we could do." She made an extraordinary request at that moment. She said, "Would you bring to me my baby boy?" So they brought to her this little infant with this tube still all over him and all the work they had done still there, barely cleaned up. And they brought this little baby into her, and she put him on her chest between her and the sheet and just held him there against her skin. Now, in Australia, doctors have a term for this. They call it kangaroo care. After the fact that kangaroos carry their babies in a pouch close to their skin. Little Jamie lay there lifeless as his mom held him against her skin, and Dad right next to her head, and they talked together about this little boy. And in about 5, maybe 10 minutes, Jamie took a breath. Well, the doctor said, "Don't get excited. Don't get your hopes up. That's just a reaction. There's some little air left in his lungs from where we were working on him. Don't get your hopes up. Your child is dead." So Kate just held her baby for a few more minutes, and you know what? He took another breath. And he took another breath. She held the baby like that for 2 hours. By the end of 2 hours, Jamie was making noises, and he was grunting, and he was doing all those things infants do, including looking for food. Jamie and his twin sister just celebrated their fourth birthday, living in New Zealand now with mom and dad. Imagine that, moms, just for a moment, that picture of all the promise of a child is coming into the world, children being born, and in that moment, suddenly the promise turns to pain. Just like that. Out of your control, there's nothing you could have done. And then just a little while later, the pain turns to promise. Just like that. Life restored. Promise again. Because parenthood is filled with both. And if right now, mom, if right now you are suffering pain for your children, if right now your heart is broken for your children, trust God, because in the hands of God there is promise. In the hands of God there is hope. So what should I do? Here's what you should do. Be a faithful follower of Jesus Christ yourself. Know for certain today you're saved, born again in Christ, and you're following Him faithfully day by day. Teach and instruct your children in the things of God. And moms, trust God with your children. Because God and only God knows what comes next. Now you can do your part, and you should. But trust God with your children. Let's pray together. Our gracious God and Father, what a great God you are. Father, this morning I pray, God, for those broken-hearted moms, those moms who are so worried for their children. Father, together, God, we entrust those children to you. We know, God, that really there's not anything we can ultimately do but guide them, direct them, pray for them, and trust you. So, God, today we entrust our children to you. No matter what they're going through, we entrust them to you. But, Father, I want to pray for our moms today. Because, God, I believe there's at least one mom, maybe two this morning, in a place this size that that needs Christ as her Savior. Father, I know on this Mother's Day you want to reach out, God. You want them to surrender their lives to Christ. And I pray for that mom who needs Christ today, that she would come to Jesus and give her life to Christ, that she could trust you with her children. I pray, Father, for those moms who need to come back to you, God. Maybe they haven't been living faithful, godly lives, even in front of their children. God, I pray today they would come back to you, Father, to serve you faithfully. I pray for those who need to make faith decisions to join this church, decisions, God, to follow you in missions, decisions for the next stage of their lives, God, whatever that is, Father. I pray for our moms today, God. And I pray for all of us, Father, that in this time of response, we would seek to do your will. We would surrender everything to you, God, because this is our time. This is our moment. But God, how I pray for the moms who need to pray for their children, who are worried about their children, God. I pray for moms to come to the altar to pray for their children. And I pray for children, Father, to come to the altar with their moms.